effect until we get a grip on taxes and education and things of that nature. They're going to come after the, the county that's making, a lot of money. Eureka goes through the same thing. Not to the same thing we went through this year, but, they have all the gold, but they don't have all the houses. So, I just think we're just going to have to, especially during the interim sessions, which is actually starting here in another couple weeks, we're going to have to, start really paying attention to what people are going to try to do with our money. So that's all I have on 432. Helen, did you want to go into 81?
Yes, that would be great. Senate Bill 81 dovetails into this because it was a regional planning bill introduced by Senator Skip Haley. And it wasn't anything new. They had already had it in before, but it expired in December of 2023. So what he wanted to do with the original bill was expand this and make it a permanent regional planning where not only would the counties have votes, but each of the cities within counties would have a say on deciding what they wanted to bring forward to the next legislature. They would be looking at issues of positive and negative significance impacting the region, and it could be anything from land use and development to transportation to a variety of other things. It would have brought in NDOT, it would have brought in GOED, and one of the failed laws, I think, that with this bill on the part of Senator Daley was that he was saying that there would be some officio members of this committee, and they would be appointed by the majority leaders in both houses. He did not give the minority leaders the opportunity to appoint their own from their own party. And I think that's one of the reasons the governor vetoed this legislation. And we're thankful of that. It was going to really, at least in its original form, very heavily lean in favor of Washoe County and Washoe County City. And they would have been able to accomplish an awful lot and try to promote legislation that would have been very negative on Story County and even on Lyon County. So we had support again from some of the rural areas, and this bill ended up failing in the end. It not only brought in, Washoe and Lyon and Story County, but it also brought in Carson City and Douglas as well. Our major concern was issues in Story County should be decided by you, the county commission, and not by other counties. We needed to maintain our autonomy and our right to govern our land and the people that live within your boundaries. So this the veto message has not yet come out.
Slow on that, but it's definitely because, so we don't have to worry about this for another 2 years, but I'm sure it'll come up again. Yeah, I'm pretty sure as long as Skip's elected, it'll be back. But that's all we have for 432 and 81, and I'll have Mary come up and address some of the things that she did this session, and so I'll turn it over to Mary Walker.
Good morning. Nice to see you. I first want to thank Commissioner Mitchell and County Manager Osborne for all the work and support of being on our Tri-County Legislative Coalition, as well as all of the time they spent with me going door to door to, I'd say, hundreds of legislative hearings and meetings with legislators, and I really appreciate all their support. And also, for all of your staff, we monitored 433 bills for Story County, Douglas, and Lyon. And this guy right here gets all of them, but they're divvied out to whatever department those bills affect. I do have a written report But also, in addition to that, hopefully by early next week, you will be getting a report of all 433 bills, what their disposition is, their enactment date, whether they failed, and the county manager will get a full set of all of the bills, but then we break it down by department. So the DA will get a list of bills, the finance department will get a list of bills, that type of thing. So everybody will know exactly what happened. Some of the bills that we had been working on, AB 518, Indigent Defense, that allows for a $450 stipend for judges, district attorneys, and public defenders who work weekends due to the implementation of the 48-hour rule where you have to have a court hearing within 48 hours of someone's arrest. For Story County, they will be getting $46,800 from the state to pay for the judges and the district attorneys' stipend. And the stipend begins July 1st. In regards to the public defenders, because Story County is with the state public defender, the Department of Indigent Defense will be making those payments directly to them. So for Story County, it will just be the stipend of $450 per weekend. For the district attorney and the judge. We also got past AB 68, the China Springs apportionment bill, and we got full funding for the China Springs budget for the next 2 years. And that was a huge change. I think it was, there's about $400,000 yet that we're only gonna have that for 2 years, and then that will go away and the counties are gonna have to pick that up. But we did get ongoing funding of $800,000 and then $400,000 for just 2 years. We also had AB 172 pertain to collective bargaining, and we had to fight that one. And that, by the end, was only applicable to schools. We were able to get that change. And then we had SB 235, pretrial release bill. That was a sister bill to AB 518 in regards to the stipend for judges and DAs. SB 235, the pretrial release bill, what that does is we're trying to grow the professionals in the rurals. This allows a justice court judge to be able to sit for a muni judge and vice versa. It allows for a state public defender to get the stipend and work other areas of the state in the rurals. It also allows a district attorney from one county to come in and work for another county. And the reason is because in the rurals, we just don't have a lot of people to pool. And so a lot of these folks, particularly the judges and the DAs, they're working every weekend because there's no one else to fill in for them. The other thing that stipend does is it can you can use it to pay somebody to come in so that these guys can have a day off. Some of the other bills, AB 95, candidacy for office, that would have required a petition in order to file for office. That was killed. AB 292 on jail inmates, gender identity. We don't have to get into what that all meant, but it was very detailed. That is only applies to state prisons, so we were able to get out of that. AB 314, home-based businesses. I know this is one that Mr. Osborne were concerned about. That bill is dead. It basically changed the way that we as local government regulate home-based businesses, and it really was unworkable. AB 369, court fines and fees, that would have changed a lot of our fines and fees and it would have been less funding for us. That died. AB 391, 5% for local bidders. That was a requirement that we would have to give an additional 5% to a construction bid, for example, if they were local. That is enabling now only. It's not a mandate. SB 64, school board appointment, that would have required the Board of County Commissioners to appoint the school board chairman. That bill is dead. SB 142 was a homeless bill. We were concerned about that because it allowed the homeless to go everywhere in public property. And where they did that up in Oregon and Washington, and they have homeless in children's school playgrounds. It just got way out of hand. So that one died. SB 233, rental equipment taxes. The assessors really fought this one, as well as ourselves, NACO, and that is dead, thank God. That we fought that all session long. It died the last day because of Clark and Washoe. They really worked that. I have to really thank them for that. SB 304, that would have required your fire equipment and stations to be NFPA standards. That would have cost millions and millions of dollars. That is dead. SB 338, that's Flores's OHV bill. That would have eliminated a local government's ability to regulate OHVs. He basically gutted the entire bill, and it just has a small definition now. SB 354, Justice of the Peace, that would have required some very onerous national classes for our Justices of the Peace, and that bill, I think, concerned our judges more than any other one. I was able to get a stipulation in there that we grandfathered in our judges. If you recall, there was SB 391. That's the siren bill. And I'm going to read to you what it actually says. If the bill requires a local government may not sound a siren bell or alarm if a siren bell or alarm is currently or was previously sounded on a specific day or times in association with an ordinance enacted by the entity requiring persons of a particular race, ethnicity, ancestry, national origin, or color to leave the entity by a specific time. So if you have past history, that's the part of the history of why you have a bell or alarm. If you do continue to sound that siren, and you do have that type of history, you'll be in violation, and you'll be subject to a penalty of not more than $50,000 for each violation. If you don't have any association, with this, then you're free to keep it going. And then I just wanted to, Steve is at one of our other counties giving a presentation, and the only water bill that I think most of them died, but a really good one is AB 20, and that provides funding for septic tank conversion to sewer systems. So if you have septic tanks on 1 acre parcels, then you're probably contaminating the water. And so they are having this money available to convert septic tanks to a system. So that's the things in general I wanted to talk about. There's a written report. You'll get, and each department will get a report linking to each bill so they can see it themselves. I did want to state that the interim session, it's over the next 18 months before the next session. Last interim, we monitored 12 committees. And there could be some special studies, but it's usually within those committees. And basically what they did last session in 2021 is they restructured how they do interim committees. It's basically annual legislative sessions is what it is. And these committees are going to start up later in the fall, and they'll go through August. They will make recommendations on bills that will go to the 2025 legislative session. The important thing about it is that if you aren't keeping track of what's happening in these interim times, particularly now that it's actually the same committees, the same chairman of the Assembly and Senate are chair and vice chair of these interim committees, there's a lot more coordination going on between the Assembly and the Senate, which is bad for us. And sometimes you have to, okay, you work at one side and you have to try and kill it on the other side or whatever. But what will happen is if you're not involved in the interim, then next legislative session, and you go in and you are opposing something or whatever, they're going to ask you, where were you the last 18 months? So it's very important to be involved in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, thank you. Alex, are you going to take this or is Will?
I'm not. I was hoping Will was going to take it.
Hi, Mayor. Can everybody hear me? I got the first question.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Excellent. Hi, guys. Just real quickly, and we'll keep it brief for the end here. Will Adler, for the record, principal associate government relations, if I'm not there in the room. This year, overall, with the most successful legislative session, I would just say it started out a little bit like a groundhog day, a little bit like the same legislative session over again with the repeat of some fiscal adjustment, two-story county coming right out at the beginning of the year. But other than that, we were able to curb this session to a pretty positive one politically, relationship-wise, and legislatively. The one bill Story County did bring forward was AB 63. AB 63 was an attempt to get more recognition for the crisis already in the state on Highway 80. That bill originated as a larger scope sort of mandate on NDOT to create some changes to Highway 80. And I would say politically, it did have a bit of a tougher road ahead just because we were dealing directly with the state agency and trying to mandate upon them. That didn't go as well as people would think it would go sometimes, but NDOT did step forward and say they wanted to do more with us and for us as a region. Story County itself was identified as being the least respected and the most impacted by Highway 80. And to address that, their director actually met with us, I think, six times. And in that process, they did recognize a couple of areas of improvement where they could improve. And Tracy Thompson actually stepped forward and said, I'm going to do those things now and try to remove the pressure of actually having to pass AB 63. Politically, that was astute by her as a director. And they did lower the speed limits on Highway 80 to 65 miles per hour and a lot of places. So I do think that the impact of trying to pass the bill is actually probably more impactful than actually getting the legislation done on this one, because we did open those doors and we did start those relationships. And I think it was overall a very successful measure. That is all of my report, and I think overall the whole team came together and we really did well representing Story County. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Will.
And kind of to reiterate what other folks have said, Sarah wanted to make a comment, but because of the technical difficulty, she asked me to do it. But we wanted to underscore what County Manager Osborne had shared at the outset of these reports about the role that the county itself plays in this work. We have to say that you as a county are remarkable in the amount of research, preparation, and documentation that you do across all these range of issues. You provide a great deal of knowledge and might to the table and noted throughout the building, more so than many other local governments. So we feel congratulations and appreciation are in order to you. Thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Alex.
Mr. Commissioners, I'll kind of bring us to a close here until you would like to speak, but I just want to remind us that, Alex said, is exactly true. We all work together on these bills. All of this thing is a matter of research and background. There's a lot of folks that are sitting in the audience, and folks on Zoom here are separate elected officials that were also involved in a lot of this. And I also want to, if you want, when I complete, just ask the elected officials in these offices if they have things they would like to bring up too, as they too are lobbying in their own offices for needs in their own offices. But I think the takeaway and what we heard today is really that Story County prevailed in the bills that were against it this year, but this is not seen as a win. This is something that we were able to stop in the 2021 legislative session and the 2023, despite the powerful and well-funded forces that were behind it, getting us where we need to be. But there's a lot of work still to go. We prevailed, is the word I use, because really our message and the work and the hours, like Mary had talked about, all those office visits, all of the time we spent in the building down there was with abundant data and research, and all the numbers we used were authentic and reviewed and making sure that everything was clean and that we could back that up. The countless hours, the days, the nights, the weekends, and the holidays that were spent doing the same, either on the phone, in the building, or otherwise conducting research to back up our positions. And working as a team, we all see the folks that we're working with is very important. And I think probably the most important thing is for each of the people that are sitting here, I really believe that they truly believe in what we are and who we are as an organization. We're not just doing this as representing a client. I don't feel like that with our team at all. So again, this is not a time to celebrate. What this really is a time for us to do, as we have suggested, as we work on the next interim session on our mission and our strategies, and we put a plan together, and we look at being part of these committees in 2025 and the interim. And it's also time, as been suggested earlier during these commission meetings, that we continue building relationships, whether it's for our regional partners in Washoe County and otherwise, and legislative leaders all the way here in Clark County, associations and otherwise, and also to bolster our planning efforts, including, for example, the housing needs and assessments that we had talked about, the master plan, and our overall internal planning with these folks. So it's been an honor to work with every one of these folks and this board. And at this time, I don't have anything else, and I'd like to invite others that might have something to say too. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Quick follow-up.
Awesome. Absolutely.
One thing that we did hear throughout the legislature is how well-prepared Story County is. And I can tell you they're not talking about me, but mostly Mary, Will, and more so Austin. When we get into, and Helen as well, when we get into these things, Austin is so well-prepared it makes everybody's job much easier. So he does not have an easy job. So I just wanted to thank everybody for that, for a good session, and look forward to the next one. And but we did get a lot of compliments on how well prepared we were, and it's with mainly because of this guy. So somebody should buy him a beer or something. So that's all I have. If anybody has any questions, we can take some, I guess, or if not, I guess we're done.
Appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. Are there any department heads in the audience that want to speak up about anything, or any on Zoom? Now is your chance. Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for our lobby team here? How about you, Vice Chairman? Anything?
Just a quick hearty thanks to our folks, you know.